You know, she knows that she had that question about the municipal advisor.
Yeah.
It's 5 minutes past the time. Why don't we have a call to order to start? Like to take roll? Do you want to start?
Sure.
Just say your name and your present.
Okay.
I wasn't used to it because there's no mic in front of me. There's no button.
Why don't we go ahead and start the
confirm that this is rolling.
We have two little recorders.
We're taking a roll. We hadn't gotten here yet.
No, sorry about that.
Perfect timing. Do you want to get?
It's already on.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
So we'll start again.
Min Chai.
Sherry Friedenridge.
John Moore.
Eric Woolery.
Michelle Aguirre for Frank Kim.
The next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes for December 13th.
I move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yep.
Any corrections?
Mm-hmm.
Hearing none, call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Passed. The next thing on the agenda is the election of Public Financing Advisory Committee. We had a document that Tom had generated, Tom Hammond, and I think that's what we're operating under, at least my understanding.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. So the bylaws were amended, and just for the record, Suzanne Lester, CEO, Public Finance. The committee still has the discretion to vote the way it wants to vote, but the bylaws that were approved and changed kind of set up a rotating system, mm-hmm. whereas the vice chair would then become the chair. So Mr. Moore, you were the vice chair last year, and so presumably we would there would be a vote to affirm that you would be the 2019 chair, and then the next numerical district two, which is Min Chai, mm-hmm. would be the vice chair, and then in 2020 you would be the chair, and then it would go to the third district, fourth district, fifth district. Now there are exceptions that the committee member can state that they would prefer not to be the chair or vice chair, and then it would move on to the next one.
I thought there was also a caveat in there if they hadn't served for over a year.
That's correct.
On the committee that they returned, they would skip.
That's correct. That's correct. So that's the other. Mm-hmm. And then if for some reason, as I mentioned, a majority of the committee objected to a particular person. So with that, the way our new system is that Mr. Moore, you would be the chair, and Min Chai, you would be the vice chair. Mm-hmm. And so I think the way we would proceed is someone would need to make a motion, and then a second, and then all in favor.
Do we have a motion?
Yeah, I have a motion to appoint John Moore as chair and Min Chai as vice chair.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
This is great.
Thank you. I'm sorry,
congratulations.
Wallace isn't here to hand over the gavel.
No, it's like there's two people.
Our next item is the approved recommending the Board of Supervisors propose refunding of Orange County Airport Revenue Bond Series 2009A and Series 2009B and selection of financing professionals. Suzanne, does anyone need to make a report on this from the staff? Or?
I have a report prepared. Again, Suzanne Lester, CEO, Public Finance. The county executive office, I'm going to go, okay. I don't want these on to see you, but I might need them to read, so I might go back and forth. The County Executive Office and John Wayne Airport Department are requesting PFAC's recommendation in concept to the Board of Supervisors to refund the County of Orange Airport Revenue Bond Series 2009 A and B. And we're also requesting the committee recommend the selection of the finance team professionals. Just a short background. On July 9, 2009, the county, in conjunction with John Wayne Airport, issued Airport Revenue Bonds Series A and B in the aggregate principal amount of $233,115,000. As of December 31st, there's 2018, there's a total of $146,175,000 outstanding. The bond call provisions make the bonds eligible for refunding at July 2019, and a preliminary analysis indicates an opportunity for refunding interest rate savings of approximately $24.7 million or 17.97% net present value savings. So there's a very good refinance opportunity there. On November 1st, 2018, our office, Public Finance, issued RFPs for Municipal Advisor, Bond and Disclosure Counsel, and Underwriter, distributed to all the firms on the current pre-qualified panel that we have for public finance professionals. The proposals were received, and three separate five-member evaluation panels were convened to review the responses and make recommendations to PFAC and the board. I'd like to start with the Bond and Disclosure Council. There were seven Bond and Disclosure Council firms on our pre-qualified panel and were invited to participate. We received three responses back. The evaluation panel unanimously recommended Kutak Rock, who proposed a fee of $105,000 for their services. The range of fees proposed was between $105,000 and $175,000. Reference checks were completed with San Francisco International Airport, Salt Lake City Department of Airports, and Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport regarding the providing of similar services by Kutak Rock. The responses noted that Kutak Rock is very knowledgeable and highly recommended. Moving to the underwriters, we have 21 firms on our pre-qualified panel, and they were invited to participate. 12 responses were received. The evaluation panel unanimously recommended the services be awarded to Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley did serve as the co-senior underwriter on the 2009 bond transaction. Their proposed takedown was $175 per bond. The range that was proposed was $140 to $352, quite a range. Reference checks were conducted with San Diego County Regional Airport Authority and Dallas-Fort Worth Airport regarding similar services, and there was high satisfaction and excellent sales results were reported. Now moving to the municipal advisor, Mr. John Moore, our new PFAC chair, was part of this five-member panel that evaluated the municipal advisor RFPs, so he will not be eligible to participate in the vote for these services. And with only three eligible members, we won't have a quorum for this particular service. So we felt it was important to bring the remaining items forward today. We'll be going to the Airport Commission next week, and they meet once a month, so we didn't want to delay this another month. We had made an attempt at a couple of alternative dates, but we just couldn't get enough folks for a quorum together. So we decided to move forward with what we had, and then we'll ask the chair, Mr. Moore, to call a special meeting prior to the 29th, when this is scheduled for the Board of Supervisors, to just come back and vote on the municipal advisor.
Suzanne, for those people that are present, the reason one of the PFAC members sat on this commission is, in the past, we've had questions on the commission that they've appointed. Did they ask the right questions? Are we doing this? So mm-hmm. we've taken it amongst ourselves that if we can get a volunteer from TPAC to sit in. And I have to say that the work that was done by the committee was very professional. They didn't miss a thing, so it's nice to know that. But it's always good to trust but verify.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Thank you, Mr. Moore. We included in the staff report information on the municipal advisor RFP and panel recommendation. And if there's any questions at this time regarding the municipal advisor recommendation, you know, they can be asked of me or Mr. Moore, provide his input now as well as when we call the special meeting. Mm-hmm. And as mentioned, the Board of Supervisors is scheduled to consider this item on January 29th. We also have representatives here from Kutak Rock, Morgan Stanley, and John Wayne Airport Department that are available to address any questions you may have. That concludes my presentation.
And Fresco will be available at the special meeting.
Yes. Yeah, we called them and, you know, there was no reason for them to come all the way here.
So I guess we need a motion to approve two of the three.
Yeah, so if you want to take them recommended action by recommended action, the first recommended action is in concept, approve recommending to the Board of Supervisors the proposed refunding of County of Orange Airport Revenue Bond Series 2009 A and B.
Can you hear a motion?
I move to approve.
Is there a second?
I can second.
Second.
Any discussion?
I do have some questions.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Chair Moore.
Thank
congratulations
you.
Again. One of the things that I had some questions on, obviously there are at least $25 million of savings, so we definitely want to move forward on it, but I had some questions and would like to maybe have the members consider having some additional information brought back for the next time. So two things. One is, I'm assuming that this interest was probably calculated perhaps maybe last month or earlier, and I know rates have dropped, so I assume there's probably even different rates. I know I just sat on a school bond issue. We did some pre-pricing this week, and rates had dropped from the prior amounts that we had because the Fed has come out, and not the Fed hasn't come out, but there's been talk that maybe there won't be any rate increases. I mean, there's a lot of discussion, whereas previously in early December, the Fed had said, we are on track for three rate increases. So certainly in that case, there has been some pullback and some lower rates and just some different areas that may affect this or not.
So again, through the chair, of course, this is going to be a moving target,
right.
But we did get an updated projection just
okay.
within the last couple weeks.
Okay, so it is fairly current.
It's more current than when we issued the RFP.
Okay, great. So my second question is really, you know, they issued in 2009, and I don't recall the series of interest rates when we were at zero, mm-hmm. When we became, because, you know, for most of this period, we've been at historically low interest rates. I mean, rates certainly dropped down all the way to zero, but I don't recall if when we issued those, because my goal is, you know, when we issue, obviously, if rates have dropped, then we certainly want to do the refunding on them, but I wasn't sure if there was any premiums, if there were higher rates mm-hmm. in the coupons that were issued on these, because that then tends to want you to come back and have costs of issuance. And mm-hmm. in my mind, that's a detriment, because if we can just get at the rock bottom rates, mm-hmm. we obviously, if rates were, you know, if it's a callable and rates can drop, but if we get them at the low rates, mm-hmm. you know, what would that difference have been then if we would have issued them at market rates? If it sounds like you're saying they might have been issued at premium, I see. So mm-hmm. what does that do? Because now we have to come back, it's got to go to PFAC. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we had been at those rates, we'd have been theoretically, you know, again, mm-hmm. you know, depending on the structure, and it is the structure, because mm-hmm. of course, when you call bonds, if you issued them at 5%, mm-hmm. what happens is those people who paid a little more up front for the 5%, we now amortize that 5%, the difference between the 5 and the market, over the 30 years, and now they're getting the benefit because they've got 5% coupons all these years, and we're refunding, we're calling them, and so we pay a lot more. The yield to call goes up. you know, the interest, the total interest cost to call is higher than that total interest cost when we did it. So it's really kind of a future thing. Obviously, these bonds have been issued. Mm-hmm. I just don't recall, but I think it would be helpful on some of these because mm-hmm. it looks like last year we did the same thing. If we brought some history of what mm-hmm. the bonds mm-hmm. were, so we could mm-hmm. see, and again, as the county issues new bonds, is there some direction? And I certainly don't have the right answer. You know, is it you know, better in these historic low rates to not have mm-hmm. any premium and use the rates, or is it better because of the market?
Isn't that market driven though? I mean,
well, but you know, I think that yes, people say that if you had an offer between 5% coupon on a money market on a muni fund or a 4%, you're going to take 5%. But would you accept 4% if you had 3 or 4% offered? So I think it varies. I mean, I think if we sell them at higher rates and people expect those, but I think the county has, again, we just had our ratings increased.
Right.
So I think it's a strong name. We've moved through, we've paid off, we've completely dissolved all of the bankruptcy documents. So I think we have a strong case going forth. You know, our economy here is very strong. We have one of the lowest unemployment. So that would be information I think would be helpful in future to have for these so we can understand. And then as we issue these, you know, where is that best place for us? I mean, what I'd like to see is some pro formas that say, here's if we issue straight at market rates, here's what we think we would get. And of course, we might have to pay a little bit higher interest rate because it is market, perhaps, or what would be, you know, because we have to sell the bonds. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to make sure the bonds are sold. In this case, it's $146 million, so, you know, it's a decent size. And then what is the recommended from the MA and the underwriter? Here's what here's what they recommend. Here's what the MA recommends. So we have like two or three scenarios to look at and decide what is that balance. Because I don't really, if we have callable bonds, I don't really want us to, I mean, I know you can extend the date, but do we want to go through the cost of issuance and pay all that? And, you know, obviously you've got the costs here. I'm assuming, are we going to have them rated? So there's other costs of issuance yes. that are incurred. And, you know, those add up. Plus it takes staff time. So, you know, sitting on the school bonds deals, these are just questions. And I don't have the answers because, I'm not there. But I think we need to look at those and make sure all of those are considered as we go through those bond financings to determine what is, at that point, kind of the consensus or what is that best one for the county. Because, again, you know, I would rather one and done, issue them at low rates and not have to worry about it again. But I do know that the market obviously buys the supply and, you know, but I think right now with the federal tax law changes, there's not a lot of supply. There's just different dynamics. And so, you know, how can we position ourselves best to take advantage of those, but at that lowest total interest cost, both on a yield to call if we needed to and a yield to maturity. So, you know, I don't know if, you know, at this point, I'm certainly comfortable. We need to, mm-hmm. you know, we mm-hmm. certainly want to do it. We've got savings there. We definitely want to move forth on it. So I'll leave it to you if you think we want to bring anyone up to provide any input on that. But I would like, if the committee were to approve, that we have some of that for the next time.
Absolutely.
And maybe even for the board, you know, coming back, that we provide some perspective. Because I think that it's understanding the details. Because our responsibility is, you know, we only want to go into debt carefully. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure when we get into debt, we are doing the right, you know, as much as we can, that right structure a little bit, at least on a policy basis.
Right.
And some of those are policy decisions as you get into the weeds, you know, obviously, but we have so little debt, it's not like we have to find room in every year. We pretty much mm-hmm. can issue because we have so little debt that's issued, which is good. You know, it's very good.
And through the chair, when we come back with the proposed structure of the deal, we'll bring some of that information
okay,
back.
Great.
But just to let you know, I'm just looking at the official statement from the last, and there were various coupons between 3% all the way up to 5%. And Chairman Moore, like you said, a lot of it is market driven. We're relying heavily on our expert underwriters that are in the market and know what the market demand is. And then we're also relying heavily on our municipal advisor, who is the fiduciary to the county, to and an expert to agree with that or say, oh, you know, hey, I think maybe, you know, we could ask the underwriter to tweak a little bit. And sometimes, like we just did on building 16 and 14, it gets tweaked on the fly in the pricing. And so, you know, we make adjustments based on what the underwriter at the time is hearing, but we will bring back some of that additional information.
And if I could just add one more comment, just to make sure, and I may have made it last time. Certainly, you know, these are all professionals that we deal with, but there has been a change in the regulations where the underwriter is working for his clients. I mean, he has to do a fair deal for us, but he is, you know, they're working for their clients, and even though we've worked with maybe the same person before, it is a different relationship, so we have to take what they're doing with a grain of salt, and that's where our MA is very important. And again, you know, I really hold the MA who has the fiduciary that they really should be looking at all of these things, and that's really critical. And so I'm going to certainly look at that MA to really closely evaluate and explain why. And obviously then I expect the underwriter to come by and look at these types of items to say, you know, what has sold at some of these market. Because when you look at the, you know, I understand that, you know, the taxable bonds are different. You don't have the wealthy people, you don't have those tax breaks, but tax breaks are a little bit different now because, you know, the federal tax law has changed and things have changed. And so, you know, I want to take what the underwriter says with a grain of salt because they aren't really representing us. Their duty is to who they're going to sell it to. And of course, we want them to sell all the bonds too, but we really want to make sure that we have those. So, you know, with that, it is that change from previously where really it was more in thought that they were actually working for the county, and, you know, they aren't. And that's just the facts. And again, they're going to do a fair deal, but obviously, if it were me and I were selling something and you look at it, you know, you say, well, I know my clients want 5%. Will they accept a 3% or a 4%? Well, they're not going to be as happy, but, you know, how does that affect the total interest cost and the callables? So that's really the thing I just want to, you know, discuss. So
I think
appreciate.
In this case, we have the same municipal advisor that issued the bonds.
Is it the same advisor that issued the bond?
Yes,
so I would expect them to take a finer eye, really take a closer look, because I think there are dynamics difference. And again, from being on the school bonds where I look at these and I look at the sales, I think there, you know, is information that maybe we need to provide back to PFAC that says, here's what they were sold at. And I think they're required to provide it to the county that says, if we didn't sell them all, we have to then show you what we sold them at, because if they're selling it higher, obviously, I think there's new regulations that I'm not, and maybe that information needs to come out because I need to be educated too. I mean, I certainly don't have the magic pen to say this is the right rate, but I think we need to consider all those things to make sure that we're taking care of our taxpayers in the county, because it is going to take funding from, I mean, we're going to be borrowing, we've got to pay back those interest costs, and I know JWA is an enterprise fund, but we want to keep us the best small airport in the nation, and obviously if those airlines are happy because fees are not as high, that certainly is important too.
And
those would be my thoughts. Thank you.
And luckily, you know, we're in a position from 2009 where, you know, interest rates are lower than they were at that time, and I expect we'll be able to take advantage of the increased strength of the county name and the John Wayne Airport name, as they have strengthened since 2009. So the timing is good.
Mm-hmm. So, if I may,
absolutely.
To piggyback off of Sherry's comments, which she raises excellent points. I mean, instinctively, when you read this, it's like, it's saving, so why not?
Mm-hmm.
It's just an automatic, it's a no-brainer. But just to emphasize and reinforce the idea that it's for perspective and to get educated. And I think from a historical standpoint, to understand when a callable bond is actually called. And if there's a formula, I mean, you guys are the professionals, so you guys probably do all the analytics, right, and run the numbers to make sure why it is a good idea to call it and to recoup on the savings, right? But from, you know, a non-daily practice people standpoint, it'd be really helpful to understand when that threshold is reached, when you do actually go ahead and pull the trigger and exercise that.
And in this case, July 2019 is the first point in time
that you can
that all the bonds are callable.
But that was known when we issued it. That's not
that
a surprise.
Time.
And
just
10 years.
What the market rate is around that period is what helps to make
right. But
decision.
If we issued at 5%, for some of the series, and market rates were, I don't know, were 3%, then, you know, it makes sense that
right.
if rates
right.
go down, we, of course, definitely should be. But, you know, again, you know, all of the professionals who, again, are here, which I have no problem, they're all professionals, but they're now getting all this extra work because you kind of build in your supply of,
yeah.
you know, there's
cost,
a little bit of a
yeah.
conflict because if
yeah.
you're putting in calls and you are the best qualified,
no,
you're going
sense.
To kind of have repeat business, which is great, and we need our good professionals, but mm-hmm. we just need to be, make sure as the PFAC, we are the oversight body, that how does that occur
yeah.
and provide input back to
yeah.
to you because there is an inherent incentive to
right.
call bonds and reissue because you get more work.
Right,
I mean,
right.
again, nothing against, it's you know, you need to stay in business and you need work, but we have to also balance those, and where is that balance? And I certainly, like I say, I don't have the right answer. I just see all of these, and in this case, I did want to very much compliment Suzanne, Ms. Lester, because the county does a great job. They go out for, we have our list, which we establish. We then go through, we do an RFP. Excellent process, because then you're getting competitive pricing. Very good. I'm very, very happy. I was going to say it to the next, but I want to make sure that my comments are all positive. These are excellent, because what the schools do is they go out, they keep the same people without going for RFP.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nothing to do with us here, because of course it doesn't come to us, but the county is doing an excellent job, where the schools just say, well, I've used these people, I'm not going to go out for competitive bid, I'm just going to use them again because I had them with the initial election. And county's doing a great job, and I thank you for your pricing.
Mm-hmm.
It looked very competitive, and I see even some of the low prices, so I'm very pleased with how everything turned out.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely support this wholly. It's just looking forward. I want to make sure that we're protecting the county, and thank you for your thoughts
yeah.
on it, too.
No, I think we want to know the actual picture, the bottom line, what the actual net savings are with all the built-in costs that weren't inferred from, you know, just face value from reading this. I think that's really helpful. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any other discussion points? Hearing none, call for the vote. All those in favor of putting this forward, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
So now we have 3 and 4. We need to do that with just one, so we're not going to do 2. Is that right?
Correct.
The second recommended action, we won't be able to vote at this time. And then the third recommended action, the selection of Kutak Rock LLP as Bond and Disclosure Counsel.
I'll move 3.
Okay, and I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, call for the vote. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
And then number 4, recommend the selection of Morgan Stanley and Company, LLC, as underwriter.
I so move.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I call for the vote. All those in favor of passing recommendation number 4, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Passes.
And I did have one additional comment I wanted to compliment staff on, if I might, on this item. I did have a few questions, and Ms. Lester was very helpful. She answered them, so I didn't have to ask them here. And she also added some comments that I thought were extremely helpful, because all of these recommendations were unanimously passed,
mm-hmm.
and she noted that in her comments. And they weren't in here, and that was some of my questions, and I want to thank you. That was very helpful to have that, because knowing that and your comments, Chair Moore, that you had sat on, and it was very professional. And again, I was very pleased with the whole process, so I thank you guys very much. Good
mm-hmm.
job.
Thank you, and we do appreciate getting any email questions in advance, because
mm-hmm.
sometimes, you know, we don't have we can do a little research. We might not have it the answer on the fly here at the meeting, so we definitely appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Any public comments? Do you have something else?
So at this point, we would request that the chair direct staff to agendize a special meeting.
Right.
A couple of our preferred dates were January 24th or January 22nd. those were the preferred dates for the Frasca folks, although they said the gentleman that we're the primary person we're working with said that if he couldn't make it, he would send a colleague. But we're hoping.
Are you talking about a 1:30 meeting on the 24th?
It doesn't necessarily have to be, but 1:30 would be a good time. But if
I can do the 22nd.
22.
The 22nd.
Yeah. Well, the 22nd would be better for me.
Okay.
We do have the OCIT open house at 1, and I think they're off-site, which is always good. They do a lot of our security, and it's always good to go. So if we could do it on the 22nd, that would be great for me also.
At 1:30?
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have the EA briefing at 2, so I don't know if we could move it to a 1 just in case there's any items on, maybe?
At 1:30, I mean, I'm just anticipating
sure.
It will take no more than 5
okay,
minutes because we're just going to have
yep,
that
yep,
one,
then
one 1:30 selection.
Is fine. Yep, 1:30
okay.
is fine.
Okay, so we'll agendize for January 22nd at 1:30, mm-hmm. and we'll get back to everyone right away because we'll want to check with the folks that aren't here today.
Mm-hmm.
We hope that'll be in the board hearing room.
I don't know.
You can meet in the garage and save the walk across the street.
Yeah, I have to schedule a conflict on the 22nd, but hopefully one of the other folks can fill in.
Right. We'll need both of them, actually, because we need 4 people. So
are you available at all on the 22nd, or are you out all day? So then should we look at the 24th then?
If we could
again?
Look at the 24th.
Because it sounds, because
we
need.
I don't think that's going to get any better for me. So.
Mm.
I've got a couple of meetings that day.
Me too.
And what about?
The 23rd.
The 23rd.
23rd works.
The
20. I'm okay on the 23rd at 1:30.
Yeah, it's like I'm kind of booked that all week. So.
Okay, so maybe we either
let's
the 28th
the
22nd.
Then. 22nd looks better.
What was the problem on the 22nd?
Well, I think Eric's gone
yeah.
all week. It looks
yeah.
like he's
yeah.
at association or out.
So hopefully we can get both. Wallace.
Oh, yes. Oh, okay.
We need both Wallace
oh.
and Tom Hammond.
Okay, so Eric wouldn't be needed if both of them were available.
Right.
Okay, but we need to have, okay.
Yeah, so maybe we can go ahead and agendize for the 22nd.
Okay.
And have the 24th as that option, I guess, or 23rd is the option.
23rd, I think.
I mean, hopefully we can do it with that,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully
yeah.
both of them could come. That would be the best, you're right.
So. You know, I think both of them are out of town, so hopefully we can get back to you by Monday to
okay.
confirm. Otherwise, we'll figure something else out. Okay. Okay, great. Then I think the meeting
oops.
Still needs to be adjourned.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Motion to adjourn. It's adjourned. You don't need a second.
Okay. Sold. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
You might even beat that trap.
I know. That's a long trip.
And we'll be in touch with everybody. The next thing
okay.
for us is
great.
We'll
see you in a couple weeks.
I guess, yeah, 22nd.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. We'll see you guys. Thanks again for your input.
Good seeing you.
We'll communicate with everybody.
Well, I've got all these deals.
Of course, you're going to